Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the 22 Mysteries Podcast. This is episode 12, and we are talking about drugs today. Again, yep, the continuation of the conversation that I started with Dr. Ingrid Walker, where we talked about benzos, benzodiazepines, and their effect on what is going on in the youth culture right now in hip-hop. That is a conversation that I am passionate to keep going, and today I am bringing you a conversation I had with a good friend of mine that I met when I was in the Navy. We served at a command in New York together, and we've just been maintained a good friendship. And when he was listening to my podcast, he brought it to my attention that he actually has a pretty unique story around benzodiazepines. And so I wanted to sit down with him and have that conversation and bring it to you guys, because I think that he provides incredible insight into the world of benzo addiction, and more so the recovery from benzo addiction. And I will, without further ado, allow him to kind of tell this story, because I want to bring you guys into that conversation. So I'll roll that intro and we'll get into that conversation. All right, enjoy.
Sicker than your average. This is the 22 Mysteries Podcast with your host, Sean Hamilton.
I might just persuade you to love hip hop just a little bit more. I just believe that it is the voice of the people, man. The effects of music, specifically hip-hop music. How activism can be a part of the culture. Four elements of hip-hop can be taken around the world to make this world a better place. I'm now on the phone with a buddy of mine from the Navy, Sean Sullivan. He has a very unique perspective into this kind of benzodiazepine conversation. And so I guess without further ado, Sean, dude, I'll just let you take it away and kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and like how you came to the perspective you have on this kind of drug problem that we're facing.
Yeah, so it all kind of starts and ends with my mother. So we had a tragedy in the family, and my stepdad killed himself. And that's where like the story starts out dark, and it doesn't get good until recently. But she started on these benzos. She was on Xanax, and I'm sure everyone's heard of Xanax. It's like huge right now, but I didn't know anything about it. My wife knew a little bit about it. Some people I talked to knew a little bit about it, but I didn't know anything about it. I just knew my mom started on these mood stabilizers, AKA benzos. They're tranquilizers. Like, don't get it twisted. These are not a,
yeah, I feel good drug.
These are a straight up tranquilizer, man. But, she starts down this path on these tranquilizers, and I go to visit her, and I notice some things are off on the phone, but I think, you know, I think like everybody else did, we thought it was the trauma, you know, you don't really pinpoint a drug. So
yeah, man, that trauma. And I mean, you know, just to kind of give a little honor and respect to that trauma that she went through, that's and you went through, and everybody around you, that's intense, man.
Yeah, it sucked, and it came out of nowhere, and it was a surprise to everyone involved. And
yeah, dude, I'm sorry to hear about that, man.
Yeah, it's a bummer, man. He's a good dude. But so she's on these drugs. Her family's having issues dealing with her. Nobody can deal with her. But the biggest thing is like she was having a ton of issues. She couldn't deal with the paperwork. She couldn't deal with her banking. She couldn't deal with her retirement accounts. And it compounds because they had just moved out of their home that they'd been in forever over to Florida to retire. So they'd both gone into retirement. They both kind of settled in a new area where his family was, and she didn't really have a ton of connections around. So I was off a lot. I wasn't working. So it was just in between school. I would go visit her and help her move stuff around the house and deal with some of the paperwork. And I talked to her on the phone and realized she was kind of getting under it. She was having issues. It was all piling up. So I was like, okay, so we'll just take a week. I'll go there for a week. And I'll just help you move stuff, throw stuff away, deal with, you know, some of the stuff you've been dealing with. And her family also, to their credit, did that too. So she had like her brother came and visited and hung out with her and was dealing with stuff with her, and her sisters came, and so they all kind of took, we took it in shifts, kind of helping her out.
Yeah.
My mom's always been a strong person, like mentally sharp, very tough, like single mom, raised me and my sister. Before that, raised her first daughter when she was very young. She's tough. She's a tough cookie. She's an RNC, registered nurse certified. And she knows that, the reason I bring that up is she knows the medical field. She knows this kind of trap that people fall into. And she stresses that when you're in that traumatic mind state, you know, that state of mind, you don't make intelligent decisions. And when your doctor says, I'm going to prescribe blah, you don't ask the questions you should.
Yeah, definitely.
And so she started on Xanax in a pretty high dose. I don't remember the exact dose. But she started on a fairly high dose, and she immediately noticed side effects, like bad side effects, where she had the benzo brain, as it's called, where she would start mixing up her words. So she would start not remembering words. She had issues like that. And I remember talking to her. It was frustrating for me because I was a shit about it. Like I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know what a benzo was. I didn't know she was on them. I knew nothing. So like I go into this situation and I just noticed my mom's off, like, big time, like more than the trauma could explain. And this was months after the trauma. So she had kind of reset. I had talked to her on the phone and she was always breaking down. Bad things were happening and it was piling up, and she was reacting in a way that I've never seen my mom react to anything, where she was just overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So the reason I brought up, you know, mom's a strong person. Like, she never has ever been like, I can't deal with this, like, ever. And that was what she was saying every time I talked to her. She was stressing. So I went down there and I talked to her some more, and we went through some of her paperwork. We were dealing with some stuff for her, and she was very stressed out, very on edge. And I noticed she was taking the pills, and she was talking about it. She told me about it. She was like, yeah, these benzos are a nightmare. And that's when she was like trying to educate me. And me and my ineptitude was like, well, why don't you just stop taking them? You know, like, game over. No problem. And she was like, you're an idiot. Like, and she just sent me articles, right? So she just sent me some articles and was like, read those, talk to me later. But the problem, and I think I said something like, you're acting crazy at some point, because she was freaking out and she went off. Like, because my mom, like I said, is that strong person who's mentally sharp. And she was like, I am not fucking crazy. These drugs are making me crazy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
She was fighting. And that conflict in her, you know, like we talked about everything while I was there. We talk about everything. My mom's a great talker, but she wasn't herself fully that first visit. And she had started weaning herself off. Right. So she had like done what everybody does when they get hooked on these damn pills. So Xanax is the worst. Let me just put that out there. After my research, Xanax is extremely short half-life. So you get the withdrawal symptoms within 4 hours sometimes. Jeez. So it's like 4 to 12 hours. Yeah. So you're supposed to take, like, when they prescribe you Xanax, they'll give you like 10 milligrams, 5 in the morning, 5 at night. And you can be having withdrawal symptoms throughout the day. And if anyone has been on these and has experienced these symptoms, they're immediately going, yeah, that's exactly what happens. Like, you have to get on the other type of Xanax. It's like Xanax L, that's the long lasting. Or you have to get on Valium, and doctors hate Valium. They hate prescribing it. So if you're going to be on a benzo, you want to be on the longer acting ones, so you don't get these crazy half-life withdrawal symptoms constantly, because that's when it gets really bad. Her brain would just shut down. Like, she was scared to go outside, severe paranoia, anxious, couldn't talk well. She would stumble over certain words, but you could tell she was still there. She would just like kind of look at you for a second and then be like, yeah, the word night, that's what I meant, you know. And you're like, oh my god, yeah, okay. So little things super off. Yeah. And it's like bizarre. It's bizarre to see. But she was having a ton of issues with it. So she started weaning herself off and she was down to like a quarter of a pill a day or something. But what she didn't really, I think she realized it, but she didn't know what to do. So my mom starts researching it, but you have to understand researching this kind of stuff. Like for us, we're like, get on Google, man, go do it. But when you're in that depressed benzo brain fog, she was like, computers were one of the hardest things to deal with. My mom's actually pretty tech savvy. And she just like, she could not stay on the computer for long. It would drive her nuts, which is why she was having all these issues with like her bills and her stuff. She couldn't get online. She was having a ton of issues staying online to get this stuff worked out.
Well, and in any time too, like you get online and you start researching any kind of medical thing. And it's like, what do you trust and what do you look at? Like there's just so much crazy nonsense out there and, you know, and everything is, it doesn't suit well for anybody that might be experiencing any kind of paranoia, because I mean, it can take the most level-headed person and you have a couple of like minor symptoms and now you feel like you're about to die and it makes you paranoid. And it's like you were straight level-headed. So if somebody's already kind of dealing with something, I could see how like the research online never comes out well.
Yeah. And I don't know if you want to run that test. It's interesting. Like I just did something where I tried to look up like a clean room, right? Like they use in pharmaceutical labs and stuff.
Yeah.
And just try to Google that, like Google clean room for pharmaceutical labs. You'll get like 78 pages basically of advertisement before you get any information. Like you get people trying to sell you clean room technology. That's what you get. So Google's not always great. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
for
sure. But she was trying to get on Google. She was searching some stuff, getting some documents, and she had gotten a book to read and she had gotten some good information and she passed it along. And I read it and I just felt awful, man, like awful, because I saw everything that she had, that this one doctor, oh man, I can't remember her name. I should have written it down. This one doctor wrote this book and it's like the Bible on benzo, right? On all benzos. And the issue that people have with benzos right now, aside from them being overly prescribed and all that other same stuff that pretty much is just bad about pharmaceuticals, is they're not getting the attention, right? Everybody knows that doctors overprescribe what?
The oxys and the
yeah, the painkillers. That's what everybody is worried about. Yeah. So like that is like benzos are like its little evil step cousin that nobody is educated on. Like you can go off those painkillers and you'll be miserable, but it will not kill you. If you try to stop benzos, there's two drugs that I know that will kill you. One is benzos can kill you. You can give you seizures and you can die if you just stop it cold turkey. And what was the first advice I gave my mom? Just stop it cold turkey. Right? No, don't do that. You have to wean yourself off. And the second one is alcohol. Alcohol can actually kill you if you're a raging alcoholic and you try to stop cold turkey, it can kill you. So I started educating myself on it, right? And I'll tell you right now, if you have a family member or someone going through this, or you yourself are going through it, get somebody close to you that you want to understand, get them educated on it. Because that was what she said made the biggest difference, was me being educated on it. Because she could tell me and I understood. I was like, that's this. And she was like, exactly. But no one believed her. And you want to say that it's just, you know, someone who's hurt saying that no one believed him, but she's right. I didn't believe her.
Right.
Like I called her crazy. And when she freaked out, I was like, well, she's just crazy. Was what was really going on in my head, you know, right. Not, oh my God, this is blocking her GABA receptors. She can't learn. She can't do anything right now. She can't feel normally. Like that's what those do. They're GABA inhibitors. And the way that's why the recovery from benzos is so bad. Because your brain basically has to learn to refire all these GABA receptors, and it takes an extremely long amount of time. It's not just stop doing the drug and they refire immediately. So you have to wean off very carefully.
Right. Because you've been, so my mom, you've been suppressing those. I mean, it basically just numbs all the nerves in your brain. And so I'm sure it has, all these different effects. And what's so crazy, I think we're in this mind state that it's like, well, if a doctor prescribes it, then it's okay. So even the people that are on the peripherals of somebody that might be, suffering with this kind of thing, it's like, well, we all think, oh, well, you got it from a doctor, so that's fine. Like, we don't recognize that doctors are causing a lot of problems. Like, and these drugs specifically are causing a lot of problems. And I think one of the scarier aspects of it is that, I mean, these drugs have been killing a lot of people that are like gaining publicity and notoriety, and yet the news gets swept away from in all of the noise and the hysteria that's going on right now. All of that noise is like, it's not breaking through to where we can actually have these conversations that need to be had. And that's what scares me more than anything, is because it's like this new wave of musicians and artists are, really capturing the minds and of the youth, and they're sitting there like really glorifying these drugs like Xanax. Like, there's so many of these like new kind of, these kind of like SoundCloud rappers and YouTube rappers that have like made names for themselves, but also at the same time they're like synonymous with Xanax use, and it's taken a few of their lives, and yet a whole generation of kids now are like following in those footsteps, as they did with, kind of lean and all of those other drugs as well. But benzo seems to like scare me more than anything because of, just the situation that you're talking about with your mom. So yeah, how did this all kind of come to a head in this realization that you had?
Yeah. So two things I just want to say about that real quick about the doctors and the youth a little bit. So the thing I want to say about doctors is doctors are doctors for a good reason. They get, I think 99.99% of them get into the field for the right reason. That does not mean they know everything. The training they get on benzos is like a week. Think about that. Like, we were both in the Navy. The Navy trained us more on a chemical we never touched in some system we never saw.
Yeah.
Then these doctors got trained in their entire careers on these drugs they're prescribing weekly. Like, that is insanity. Now, the real issue, the second thing I want to say about the doctors is it's tough, right? Because I was talking to my mom, and one of the treatments that, so basically we're at the next step, right? I had done the research, learned a lot about benzos, and now I wanted to help. So the next step was, okay, mom, have you talked to your doctor about this? Of course she's talked to her doctor about this. That was step one. What did he say? He said he wants to stop giving her Xanax. And I'm like, good. Will he prescribe you long lasting Xanax, which is like second best, or Valium, which is best, so that you can wean yourself off properly? And she was like, no, he absolutely will not do that. I'm terrified to even think of asking. Ugh. Now you understand the mindset, right? So now my mom is in crippling fear that he is going to stop prescribing her a quote unquote treatment for her depression as a mood stabilizer, basically, right? Like, are you kidding me that he would get her? And the thing is, the doctor, it's not his fault. He doesn't know. But the last thing your doctor wants, like, be your doctor for a second in your brain, is for you to come in and try to educate him on everything. Now, unfortunately, I'm just going to say it. That's what you have to do. You have to have a doctor who is willing to do that. And that's what I told my mom. And she was like, okay, so backup plan is that, is I go in and I go to war with my own doctor to try to get a drug that I can wean off of easily. And I said, yes, and we'll go in with evidence. Like, here's our plan to wean you off of this drug. And she was on board with that, but she had basically, my mom had been funnily stockpiling the Xanax, because she, like I said, she'd been weaning herself off.
Yeah.
So she stockpiled enough of it to where I did some math. And the big thing I want to recommend you, like, if you are trying to get off this drug, is just YouTube searching titrating your pills. So titrating your prescription. So for weaning off titrating is just a really super fancy word for watering down. You put the pill in water, you stir it up real good, it'll dissolve really fast, and you split that water out evenly into so many distributions for throughout the day for a benzo, especially a quick acting one like Xanax. So this already sounds hard to people and they're like, this is a nightmare. The idea is that you take, let's say it's a whole pill, you take all 10 milligrams every day. You would put that in and you'd have 300 milliliters of water and you pull out 1 milliliter every day, right? And that's how you're weaning yourself off, basically. So I did a bunch of math, made a chart for my mom. There's charts online you can get where they basically break it down for you. There's titration calculators. And the people who made them were on benzos. Like, they're like, if you Google it, you're going to find this lady who's super helpful, who is on benzos, who did this stuff. And she's a godsend because she made my mom feel comfortable about doing it. And that was the trick, right? So we built her a plan to take her current prescriptions that she already had and wean herself off. And this month, that was approximately 180 days ago. So she had already weaned herself half off the hard way, where she was in withdrawals every single day for hours.
Dude, that's so horrible, man.
And it's like your mom becomes not your mom anymore. She's a totally different person. And I'll tell you right now, the magic conversations I've had with my mother since are amazing. It's like I got my mom back. Like, I thought she was never going to be the same. So just in this process, a week later, she calls me and we talk for 4 hours and it's glorious. It's my mom again. She's sharp. She's quick. She's back because she's not in those withdrawals. Because she's taken that one shard of a pill and split it out to six different doses so that 2 hour to 4 hour half-life or whatever it was, 4 hour half-life, now it's no longer gone. She takes it every 4 hours, right? So she was back, man, and it was amazing. And she just keeps withdrawing that 1 milliliter every day, lowering the dose every day. And I think in 6 days, she's done. She's off. She never has to take it again. And the wonderful thing about this titration is you don't get, oh, I'm not taking it anymore, I'm done. The entire time your brain is rebuilding. So that the GABA receptors that take forever to heal, you don't, after you stop taking any, they don't just, oh, now the healing begins and you're in terrible symptom mode. It's gradual the entire time. And she's just come back to herself and it's amazing. It's wonderful to see. She wouldn't go outside, man. She couldn't go get groceries. She was scared to go get them. She went, but she was terrified to go get groceries, deal with things around the house. She didn't want, she had to get something moved to somebody else's house. And she was terrified of the movers. Like, all kinds of things happened because of this drug. And man, she has become herself again. She goes outside, she does her thing. And it's so wonderful to see. So you can recover. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There are methods out there.
I mean, it's so awesome to hear of that recovery, you know, like, it's just so amazing that, you know, that you were there and that it was just, you know, everybody had the capacity to like really find a solution. Because I'm sitting here and I'm just thinking about all of the people that must be in a similar situation right now. And it's heartbreaking to know that we have this system that is really there, and you know, and you, the ideology is that they're there to help, and yet they can be causing this freaking nightmare in people's lives. And so, you know, but to know that, you know, you took matters into your own hands and you really were there to help your mom is just like, it's such a great story in the sense that you were able to get her back. And, you know, so man, that's just it's intense, dude.
Yeah, but all credit goes to her, man. Like, the hard work. I did some math and read some stuff that she had already read. I am so blown away that looking through that fog, she was still able to find some kind of solution and send it to me to process, because she knew her brain wouldn't do it. It'd go, all right, I need you to do this. She was like, I could never fill out that chart. It would never happen. So I just sent it to her. She printed it out and she's been doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like, It's amazing. Man. It's wonderful.
But... It is amazing. It's like it just reminds me of like a beautiful mind scenario where there's just this, you know, this woman that just has this incredibly powerful mind that starts to, you know, kind of slip into this situation and was able to kind of call out for help in a way that, you know, into a person that could have understood at that time. And you were able to like translate that information and educate yourself and then send it back to her. And, you know, almost as like this kind of beacon, and, you know, she was able to like crawl out of where she was at, dude. It's just such a remarkable tale of like strength that your mom has to like be able to get out of that situation, man. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Once again, if you know anyone who's going through it or you're going through it, find someone to talk to about it. Find somebody to talk to about it and make sure they understand. And if you're that person that someone talks to, do not do what I did the first time. Do not dismiss them, not even a little bit. Like, you have to listen to what they're saying, educate yourself on it. Because like she said, that was the biggest thing, was having somebody believe her, because she could tell my mom's still smart. Even when she was in that fog, she could tell I didn't believe her. She could tell her sisters didn't believe her. She could tell people weren't listening to her, that her doctor thought she was like bordering on being a drug addict or something, like, because he didn't know what was going on, when in reality, my mom was having her own dose and storing it up like a squirrel because she knew she had to get off, you know, like she was. Yeah, you know, so it's just, and she said, like, that was the biggest thing she said for her, was like calling me when she was at her worst points and having me go, I absolutely understand exactly what's happening. I know it's not you, it's the benzo brain. I totally get it. And like, you know, and having that again is really important. I think that was the most important thing. The support network is the most important thing if you're in that situation. So if you're the person suffering, find somebody to talk to who loves you, find somebody and make sure they understand, and it'll change your world and you'll get out of it. But
there, that's huge. Well, man, thank you for sharing that story. I know that, you know, that, I mean, it inspires me to know that at least there's help and there's something that people can do, because it just seems like such a dire situation. And yet there is a solution. And so that, hopefully, you know, people, if they are listening and have those situations, they can at least have a little bit of hope and a direction to go. So thank you for sharing that insight, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Anytime. Good talking.
Yeah, man. What do you, so I guess in your education of this, like, how do we reach the youth when it comes to these types of situations? Cause I know that when I was a kid, man, I had a couple of run-ins with Xanax in the party scene. And, you know, I made some really dumb decisions, and I was really lucky to have made it through. And, you know, I would love to be a voice, you know, and to like be able to explain to kids. But unfortunately, I feel like it's such a hard road to like get through to like the young, invincible minded type of youth that are out there to party and feel the now. And yet at the same time, there's these things that are incredibly dangerous. And, you know, I just see so many people falling right now. I see so many people, you know, either they succumb to addiction or they lose their life. And I've lost many friends because of benzos. And I've seen, you know, a lot of people in the public eye die because of benzos. And, you know, so how do we, in your, you know, in your research, was there anything that was like, hey, this might be a way to like reach the youth there?
Oh, man. So that's tough. So first thing, you got to be realistic, right? Like, you had that mindset when you were young, you know, like you're invincible. The other thing that I'm hopeful about with that realistic mindset that some kids are just going to do this is, not everyone has terrible, awful reactions. Some people can go off of it and suffer very little side effects, and just get out of it. I don't understand that from my research, but apparently people have done that. But the biggest thing I think we can do, the only thing I think we can really do, is just keep this in the forefront. Keep telling these stories, explain, you know, because half of them don't know what Xanax is. the first thing, you know, you tell them, okay, so quick story. I'm in like freshman English class as a 30-year-old at one point. Okay. And so I'm surrounded by, because I went back to college after leaving the Navy after 12 years. So just a little backstory. I'm not a weirdo. Okay. So I go, I'm in basically rhetoric class. Okay. And these, there's these kids who are, they're very into hip hop. They're very into what's popping right now. That's what they are into. And I respect it. And one of them says, listen to this, listen to this. I do. I listen to the music, you know, and I kind of critique the little things I see. And, you know, one of the things I said was when he first mentioned the artist, I was like, does he rap about Xanax? And he was like, probably. And I was like, terrible answer, right? Just like terrible answer for me. And I didn't want to get on my soapbox in front of a bunch of, you know, invincible 18-year-olds. I kind of shied away initially, you know, because I just wouldn't have listened to me if I was them. Do you know what I mean?
No, totally.
But yeah, so I remember I kind of stepped away and then I thought about it the next day. I came home and I told my wife and I said, you know, this is what's going on. And it's terrifying to me because I, just like you, I think, oh my God, these youth are falling into a trap. You know what I mean? And she was like, well, just tell them about your mom. You know, just tell them a quick, don't sit up there for 20 minutes. Just tell them real quick. And I remember I went in and I just asked him if he knew what a benzo was. And he was like, no. And I was like, oh my gosh. So a Xanax is a benzo. A benzo is a tranquilizer. The tranquilizers, when you consumed with alcohol, can kill you. Like on the spot, you can go to sleep and not wake up. I know people this has happened to. Like, this is serious. And like that, you could see the impact on at least 2 out of 20 kids. At least 2 of them went, oh shit. But the rest, of course, you know, realistic are like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
know.
I mean, because it's like you're also fighting against the fact that they, you know, they probably have experiences where they took Xanax and they drank and they had a, you know, a time and then they woke up and everything was okay. So it's like stacked against this experience where it didn't happen to them that time. And so, you know, it stacks against it. Cause I know I have that same thing where I look back at it and I go, as scared as I am, I know that the evidence that I have from my own personal experience was that, you know, I had a couple of crazy nights, but I woke up from them. And yet I have like 3 or 4 friends that I can, you know, count right now who didn't wake up. And that's the reality. And so it's like, you know, my passion for like trying to make a difference and trying to like at least keep this conversation going so that, you know, people can, it doesn't all become about the party and the right now, because hopefully we're going to wake up and have it tomorrow. And that can't come if you're only focused on the right now, feeling good in this moment. Because that, you know, I've just seen it too many times where that feel good moment, it's the last moment that somebody got. And so, you know, so I, you know, again, man, I appreciate you taking the time to like have this conversation with me, because I know that, you know, I'm passionate about it and I got to keep these things going. And so finding other people who are willing to voice their voice as well, just it helps keep me motivated and inspired to keep going, man. So I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Anytime.
Cool, man. Well, thanks again. And we'll sign off. And yeah, man, I really do appreciate it. Hopefully I can have you back on and we can talk about some other things and some fucking crazy shenanigans about nuclear power or something.
Yeah, man. Sounds good.
All right, dude.
All right. Later.
All right. So there it was. That was the first installment. Sean and I are going to have multiple conversations coming over the next few months around this issue and some other issues as well. Really good dude, incredibly intelligent, wicked smart when it comes to all sorts of different things. And his perspective into this issue, I just found so incredible because of that story. I mean, that story, I know I was really impacted by that story. I hope that you guys got something out of that, because that, to me, is just the kind of a cautionary tale about what can happen with benzos, what can happen when, you know, doctors prescribe us medication and us feel like, you know, because doctors are prescribing it, that we feel, you know, just inherently safe in taking the medication. And yet there is so much evidence all over our country and the world right now that there is just, you know, it's not safe. You know, these drugs are not safe. They're not healthy. There are other options out there to deal with certain things. And, you know, and benzo addiction is a real thing. Benzo brain is pretty intense, obviously, from his account. And from my own personal accounts, you know, having had multiple friends die because of benzo use, when it comes to, you know, mixing it with alcohol and you kind of doubly kind of depress your nervous system and your respiratory system and you basically just stop breathing. And, you know, then I have other friends as well and acquaintances and just people that I know through the grapevine and stories upon stories upon stories that of people who are suffering still. And I think that this tale is this story that he brought, you know, to my attention, and now you guys are privy to that information as well, is that there's hope, you know. And I think that that's one of the most important aspects of this, is because I don't like having conversations about problems without at least bringing a solution to the table. And, you know, that's why I was really excited to have Sean on when after he told me that story, was because it, to me, not only speaks to the problem and really kind of gets to the heart of the issue, but also talks about some really practical solutions that people can do to help those that they love that may be suffering from this, or also empowering those that may be suffering themselves to like reach out to somebody close to them and, you know, develop a plan to get themselves off instead of just, you know, hoping or taking some other drug in order to wean them off. Because it is scary, man. Benzos are a scary drug in the sense that they are highly addictive. And at the same time, if you try to go cold turkey, they can, you know, create some seriously negative consequences, even death in your life. And so you have to approach recovery with that addiction with a very, you know, kind of cautious plan and strategy. And so I think what he was able to do with the titration and, you know, being able to wean his mom off and get his mom back. And, you know, and that was just an incredible tale of recovery. And that, to me, speaks volumes to the efficacy of the and the need, really, more than what he was able to discover, but like the need for that information to get out to the general public. Because if people have friends or their kids or, you know, just people they know and love are suffering, we need to get this information out to people that, you know, may be feeling hopeless, you know, as a lot of people who are around addiction tend to start feeling, you know. Caregiving for somebody that is addicted is a very challenging role to take. And, you know, it is definitely not an easy road to walk. And so I was really thankful for Sean. And again, Sean, when you're listening to this, dude, thank you so much. I really do appreciate you taking the time to tell me again that story, as well as the listeners of the podcast. I really do appreciate it. So I hope that you all got something out of this. I'm going to let you out on this other song that I put together for you. And I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and come on back for episode number 13. We'll be releasing that in probably a week. Or it might be two. I know that this last episode took me a little bit to get out because I was excited to put it together and get Sean on the phone. But there's just some technical difficulties with being across the country and, you know, kind of using this new tech app. So, yeah, it was cool. I'm glad that it happened. And I'm going to try and get the next episode out a little sooner than this last one. But if not, just stay with me. I promise we'll be delivering content very soon. I'm hoping to sit down with the CEO of the nonprofit Agape House, who is working to sever the link between human trafficking and the foster care system. And we're making some big moves in that realm, as well as an organization that I'm working with right now to kind of create some visibility around kind of a a campaign they're putting on here in Seattle to do a walk for A21, which is another organization around human trafficking. So the next episode will be definitely around human trafficking. And so please come back on for episode 13 if that's something that interests you. All right, I'll let you out. I hope that y'all enjoy this episode, and I will see you in the next one. Love you all.